service fellow within the Respiratory Health Division at NIOSH in Morgantown. She received her MPH in epidemiology from West Virginia University, after which Caitlin was an ASPPH CDC Public Health Fellow within the Respiratory Health Division for the last 2 years. Caitlin's research activities focus on evaluating the morbidity of work-related lung disease and its associated hazards using data from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. Caitlin?
So, good morning. Thank you all for being here today. I'll be presenting on chronic obstructive pulmonary disease among working adults using the 2013 to 2015 Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System data. I have no financial relationships to disclose, but as an employee of the CDC, I must disclaim that the findings and conclusions of this presentation are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of CDC or NIOSH. So a previous study using 2011 Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System data estimated that about 15 million U.S. adults had COPD. That's about 6.3% of all adults in the U.S. The prevalence of COPD among adults varied considerably by state, and it ranged from about 3.9% in Minnesota to 9.3% in Kentucky. The primary cause of COPD is cigarette smoking. COPD has also been associated with work, and the prevalence does vary by industry and occupation. According to the American Thoracic Society, as much as 15% of COPD is attributable to workplace exposures. Occupational exposures reported to be associated with COPD include dusts, gases, minerals, metals, grains, wood, cotton, vapors, and welding fumes. However, information on state-specific prevalence of COPD among working adults by industry and occupation are limited. The objective of this study was to estimate the state-specific prevalence of COPD by industry, occupation, and smoking status. So our data source was the BRFSS, and I'm sure you guys are familiar, but this is an ongoing cross-sectional telephone survey conducted among the non-institutionalized U.S. civilian population aged 18 years or older. And it is designed to collect information by state on preventive health practices and risk behaviors. The industry and occupation optional module was implemented in 2013. This module collects information on the industry and occupation of respondents employed in the 12 months preceding the interview for their current or most recent job. So BRFSS respondents who responded yes to the question, has a doctor, nurse, or other health professional ever told you that you have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, emphysema, or chronic bronchitis? These individuals were considered to have COPD. Participants who indicated at the time of the interview that they were employed for wages, self-employed, or out of work for less than a year were considered to be employed in the year prior to the interview. These adults were then asked about their industry and occupation. Industry was ascertained from responses to the question, what kind of business or industry do or did you work in? Responses to this question were coded by NIOSH, and for this analysis, we used the 2002 North American Industry Classification System, or NAICS. occupation was ascertained from responses to the question, what kind of work do or did you do? And responses to this question were also coded by NIOSH. And for this analysis, we use the 2000 Standard Occupation Classification System, or SOC. So smoking status was defined as current, former, and never. Current smokers were those who smoked 100 cigarettes or more during their lifetime and currently smoke every day or some days. Former smokers were those who smoked 100 cigarettes or more during their lifetime and currently do not smoke at all. And never smokers were those who have never smoked or smoked less than 100 cigarettes during their lifetime. We use SAS survey or SAS software version 9.3 for analysis. We weighted the estimates to account for survey non-response and unequal probability of selection and produced estimated proportions in 95% confidence intervals. We assess significance by comparing the 95% confidence intervals. And those that did not overlap were considered statistically different. And lastly, we did not report unreliable estimates. Those were estimates that had a relative standard error of 30% or greater, or were based on a sample of less than 50 respondents. So I will now discuss our results, which we have kind of in two parts. So for part one, the study population that we used focused on the overall BRFIS population. So from 2013 to 2015, BRFIS collected data from all 50 states and DC, and there was a sample size of over 1.3 million respondents. So we excluded those adults who were not employed in the year before the interview or had missing information on employment. So this resulted in over 700,000 adults for analysis for part one of our results. And from these, we assessed the state-specific COPD prevalence among all 50 states and DC. We then excluded those adults that did not participate in the industry and occupation optional module for part two. And this resulted in a sample of over 320,000 adults from the 30 states that collected industry and occupation optional module between 2013 and 2015. So for part two of analysis, we used this sample of adults to assess the COPD prevalence by industry and occupation for the 30 states that collected this information. So now for the results among all 50 states and DC. So the prevalence of COPD overall was 3.3%. By smoking status, the COPD prevalence was 7.5% among current smokers, 4.4% among former smokers, and 1.6% among never smokers. However, for the subsequent results, I'm not going to be presenting anything on former smokers. I'm going to focus on current and never smokers. So this map illustrates the COPD prevalence by state. The states that are highlighted in dark gold are those that have a prevalence of COPD that's greater than the overall COPD prevalence of 3.3% from the last slide. It was highest in West Virginia. It was about 5.9% there. The next map is the state-specific COPD prevalence among current smokers. So the states highlighted in dark orange have a prevalence of COPD greater than the overall average among current smokers, which was 7.5%. And it was highest here in Alabama. It was about 12.3%. And then next we looked at COPD prevalence among never smokers by state. So the states that are highlighted in dark green have a prevalence of COPD that's greater than the overall average among never smokers, which was 1.6%. And among never smokers, West Virginia had the highest COPD prevalence of about 3%. So next I'm going to go into the second part of my results, which focuses on the results from the 30 states that collected the industry and occupation module. So the 30 states are highlighted here in gold that collected the industry and occupation optional module. The overall prevalence among adults employed in the last year in the 30 states was 3%, which was significantly less than the 3.3% prevalence observed in all 50 states and DC. We think that this might be because several of the states with the highest prevalence of COPD did not collect industry and occupation information and were not included in this group of 30 states. However, the COPD prevalence by smoking status was similar between the two groups. So among these 30 states, we assessed the COPD prevalence by industry among current smokers. The red line here represents the overall prevalence of COPD among current smokers. The highest COPD prevalence was among adults employed in the arts, entertainment, and recreation industry. However, the COPD prevalence in this industry was not significantly elevated compared to the overall COPD prevalence among current smokers. Despite this, it was significantly greater than the industries with the lowest prevalence of COPD, which includes the information industry, professional scientific and technical services industry, and the agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting industry, which are down at the bottom of that graph. We also assessed the COPD prevalence by industry among never smokers. There was no significant differences in COPD prevalence by industry among this group. Next, we assess the prevalence of COPD by occupation among current smokers. When compared to the overall prevalence of COPD among current smokers, which again is represented by the red line, We found that the personal care and service occupation is significantly greater as assessed by the non-overlapping confidence intervals. We also assessed the prevalence of COPD by industry and occupation among never smokers. When compared to the overall prevalence of COPD among never smokers, the food preparation and serving occupation is significantly greater as assessed by the non-overlapping confidence intervals. So here I present the information for the top five states with the highest COPD prevalences overall. Within each state, I present the top three industries with the highest COPD prevalence. And as you can see by the overlapping confidence intervals, there are no significant differences by industry here. Similar to the previous slide, here I present the top three occupations for the same five states with the highest COPD prevalence. The confidence intervals overlap, suggesting no significant differences. However, in West Virginia and Michigan, two occupations were identified with a COPD prevalence that was significantly greater than the overall within each state, which the overall estimate for each state is there in parentheses. In West Virginia, sales and related occupations were twice that of the overall state-specific prevalence. And in Michigan, food preparation and serving occupations were all significantly elevated. So in summary, COPD prevalence among adults employed in the year prior to the Briffis interview was an estimated 3%, and it ranged from about 2% in Utah to 6% in West Virginia. COPD prevalence was highest among current smokers in Alabama and never smokers in West Virginia. COPD prevalence was highest among never smokers in the food preparation and serving occupations, and the state-specific prevalence of COPD was elevated among workers in the sales and related occupations and food preparation and serving occupations. So our results indicated that COPD prevalence was elevated among never smokers in the food preparation and serving occupations. Exposure to secondhand smoke is of concern among these workers. Although smoke-free workplace policies have greatly reduced secondhand smoke exposure, an analysis of 2009 to 2010 NHANES data revealed that more than 80% of workers in food preparation and service occupations remain exposed to secondhand smoke as assessed by elevated serum cotinine levels. Other occupational exposures may include organic and inorganic dusts, cooking fumes, and byproducts of combustion. Elevated COPD prevalence among never smokers may suggest potential occupational exposures. Remember, our results indicated that 1.6% of never smokers had COPD, but that does translate to about 1.3 million workers. Moreover, occupational exposures have been found to be associated with increased morbidity among patients with COPD. Also, combined cigarette smoking and occupational exposures have been shown to have an additive effect on the risk of COPD. So we do have some limitations in our study. Information on COPD was self-reported and may be subject to misclassification. We did have small sample sizes, which resulted in some unreliable estimates for some industries and occupations. Many states will need several years of data in order to do more detailed analysis on the industries and occupations. There was no information on occupational exposures, and this might be addressed in the future by using like a job exposure matrix, something like that. And lastly, because data on industry and occupation are limited to 30 states, the results might not be nationally representative or representative of non-participating states. So I'm being told to stop here. But can I take any questions? Yes.
I have a comment, if anything. Going back to a point that John made in an early presentation, have you thought about whether it could be also a selection thing that, as opposed to sort of a healthy worker effect, people getting selected on more dangerous jobs, people get who have health limitations getting selected into service jobs or food prep jobs?
Yes, that could be it, yeah.
If you look at ever smoke versus never smoke, because you know if somebody's told they have COPD, the first thing the doctor's going to tell them to stop smoking, and some people are going to listen. So I don't know. Does it change if you look at ever smoke?
We looked at current smoking, former smoking, and never smoking, and there are differences that pop up among former smokers. So I think
to me, former and current are sort of
this very similar. Yeah. Yes.
Did you look at age adjustment data at all?
We didn't, but that is my next step. I'm going to see if that changes anything. Yes. That I didn't look at, but that would be a good thing to look into. So I'll do that. Oh, yes. Yeah.
At the end, you mentioned the job exposure matrix. Mm-hmm. That sounds really interesting, but I'm not familiar with that. Can you speak about that?
So basically, researchers will kind of assess what exposures are common within certain jobs, and you can. I'm not super familiar with the job exposure matrix, but certain exposures are going to be more highly associated with the outcome than others. So I think they kind of rank how highly associated they are and then which jobs they're occurring in to kind of get at what the exposures are for something like this where we don't have exposure data. I think ONET does do that, and then there's some other researchers that are looking into. I'm not sure. I'll have to look into that.
We'd get that granular.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.